Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist Phil and Will are back. And for the first time for Survivor 48, we are digging deeper into the premiere of this season. Will is joining me today since he wasn't able to jump on the recap last night. Blake and I did that if you want to go check that one out. But Will, you're here now. You finally got to watch the episode. I don't know when you watched it, actually. Did you watch it last night or did you watch it today?
I had to watch the first half last night. In the second half this morning. So not so cohesive for me, but I knew I had to watch it. I knew I had to get on here. I knew I had to roast Blake for having Stephanie. I've survived not having the first boot now for three seasons in a row, every season that I've been back doing this podcast. So that was a big win. That was honestly my biggest takeaway. I thought that's what this episode was going to be, just like kind of breaking down the fantasy implications of Stephanie's boot. But Phil, answer me this. I know you've been doing a series on here called Digging Deeper.
Yeah.
And this is not that, now that I look at the title. It's Survivor 48 Episode 1 Analysis.
Yeah, so we have Digging Deeper in the thumbnail. We don't put Digging Deeper at the top because Digging Deeper means nothing to end. Nobody's typing in Digging Deeper. If they are, they'll get this because it's in the description. But if you're... If somebody's typing in analysis or discussion or something like that, they're going to find this. If they're looking for Digging Deeper, okay. That's a much more specific
version. Okay, well, that's good to know. I haven't done one of these, so that's just some search engine optimization that I was not aware of. But you didn't intro this, like, welcome to our first episode of Digging Deeper for the season.
I did.
You did. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. We're digging deeper. We're going in.
We're digging deeper. Honestly... this is a little bit more of a, Will, what were your thoughts? That's really what
I also feel like this is like a catch up of everything because I was gone last weekend when you were in New York for the premiere hanging out with JP. Mm-hmm. All the 50 news that's coming out, which is like a lot to talk about. You did a whole 50 podcast by yourself. I'm sorry. I had no service out on a river. And completely missed this news. It actually took me like a couple days when I got back to even realize, oh my gosh, like all this 50 stuff came out and like filled it a whole podcast. I had no idea. And then for me to abandon you on premiere night, I'm sure Blake, you know, filled in tremendously as he does, but it does feel like we have a lot of catching up to do, don't we?
We do have a lot of catching up to do. I think your mic might've changed from when we started. I could be wrong, but I just want to read you this comment from a commenter the other night on Blake. Cause you're saying Blake might've done a good job. Somebody came in here with this. I'm not going to say the person's name because I'm only saying this as a joke, but Blake sucks. He doesn't listen to Phil and he talks too much. No offense. So you know,
well, not listening to you and talking a lot. I feel like if you don't like that, then you're probably you not here? A fan of me either. So yeah.
It was funny though. Blake actually had some fans who jumped in and defended him. Jayburn Aquatic being one of them who's in the chat right now. So that was nice. But yeah, Will, big news there. And then next Wednesday, we're going to be at the Bryson Wen event. You, Blake, and myself. So all three of us will be there. So it's like a chaotic start.
Is that
start
what we're doing? Is
season.
That what we're, well, damn.
I hope you're going. I mean, I know.
Gosh, this is just go, 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 man. And we got the Traders later tonight. I mean, that's what I'm really focused on right now. I feel like I'm more a Traders podcaster than I am a Survivor podcaster.
Dude, the Traders has been killing it, though. It's been really good. And Dylan Efron picked up Boston Rob from the airport at LAX today. I never thought I'd say that sentence in my life, but there it is. Dylan Efron picking up Boston Rob at LAX. Unbelievable.
That's a quality friendship right there. I wish we saw more of that.
I know. That's the problem with the Traders. I feel like they don't have enough time to actually dive into the friendships or whatever. But we're talking Survivor 48, so let's do that before we lose everybody. And we're talking Survivor 50. I will say, me and Jeff, we had a little conversation there. You saw us smiling. You may or may not have come up. That's all I'm saying. You may or may not have. So
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He might have said your name before I did, which I was like, holy shit, Will. Wow. Look at you. But anyway, so yeah, we're going to talk about the 50 stuff. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I want to get your initial thoughts just on this 48 premiere. I watched this twice, so I actually feel like I know this pretty inside and out, although I still don't know if they said Boston Rob's name or not in this episode. But I think they might have. I don't know why. But anyway.
Yeah, I was looking for the name drop, but Mitch says there was a player on Amazon, and we flash back, and we never get Christy. We never get the name drop. I was looking out for that specifically. We did get some good, like we got a Beware advantage. We got, you know, a shot in the dark played. So like we got some of the prop bets going. Absolutely.
Yeah. Everything started moving in the right direction. But so you get these 18 players, you jokingly take Thomas over me with the first pick of the fantasy draft. I take Shaheen. Those were our winner picks. We reversed them. We just screwed ourselves there. But what was your takeaway from each of these tribes in this episode? Now that we actually saw them on TV.
I mean, I want to say we kind of nailed the purple tribe being physically strong. Mm-hmm. Usually, when you look at the photos and do the preseason stuff, I remember I had the Janu tribe being that physically strong purple tribe in season 46. I believe that was the first season I came back for the podcast. And that did not play out at all. That tribe was an absolute disaster. But here it looks like Purple Tribe's off to an amazing start. What are they called? Jagi or Yagi?
Loggy, I think. L-A-G-I, Loggy.
And they were great. And so I have three of those players on my fantasy team, and that's why I went that route. And that was kind of expected. And the other tribes weren't as strong. But I don't know if I have, like, a complete strong read on these tribes yet. Like, we're only one episode in. Like, they're, like... Like, purple could absolutely fall apart. You had one good cycle. You won a couple challenges. Anything can happen next week. I don't know if I'm like, this is the tribe that's doing that. I don't necessarily think that just because the green tribe went to tribal council that they're the disaster tribe, but they're right there in the challenge. We saw orange was the tribe that didn't even get their, you know, their tribe supplies. So this can go anyway. I don't think I have any reading on, like, the tribe rankings.
What do you think about, though, the green tribe goes to tribal council? And you know I love to talk confessionals. We actually had a record set last night. I don't know if you're aware of this. Are you aware that the record was set for most confessionals in the episode?
No.
Set the record.
By one person. I thought you meant total in the episode.
No.
This episode had more confessionals than any other episode.
Yeah, so Say had 21 confessionals. And the reason I bring this up is because when I'm watching the green tribe go to tribal council, Say did all the talking and Kevin did a lot of talking when he was over at the challenge and when he was talking about his shoulder and things like that. We didn't really actually hear all that much from this green tribe, which I don't know if I should take that as they might be safe for a little bit. They lose this one, but they're okay for a little. Like, they lost in a 2-hour premiere. And I don't feel like we really got to know Cedric that well. I don't feel that we got to know. I'm even drawing a blank on names, but it's like, I don't feel like we really got to know that tribe all that well. So maybe I don't know. What did you think of that? Did you feel that you got to know everybody? Did you feel you had the understanding of why they all voted for Stephanie over Say in this situation?
I think I did in the end, but I do agree with you where Say was playing so hard throughout the episode and it felt like the episode was telling you she's playing too hard.
She's out of camp. She's looking for these clues. She's trying to crack this cipher tube, which is really cool. And that these other players were maybe forming bonds or talking about her behind her back. And wait, where is she? Like, where has she been? And it definitely felt negative in that way, that like Say is playing this game too hard. But at the same time, we never really heard, like, especially like Cedric, we never heard Cedric say, hey, like, Say, I think this is dangerous. Or even like Justin and Kevin, who that's like the foursome. It wasn't until like very late in the episode that they started questioning whether they maybe should vote out Say. And I think that's really what the question of this episode was. It was like, do you vote out the super aggressive player, or do you play it safe and not vote them out because they might have an advantage because they're playing so aggressively? And that was the question of the episode. And I do think that's why we weren't privy to like everyone on Green's POV, because if you reveal early where Justin and Kevin are sitting, and if they say to us in the first act or the second act of this episode that, hey, you know, Say's playing hard, she's finding advantages, but, you know, I kind of like that because she trusts me and that's how I'm rolling, then we have no suspense when Green loses the challenge. Now we know it's between Stephanie and Mary. Honestly, Mary's name didn't really come up. So then it's like a foregone conclusion that it was Stephanie. So I think that's why it took a while to hear all those POVs from the Green Tribe, because that you can't answer that question until it really, you know, you have to go to tribal council and vote.
Yeah. And we did get Stephanie saying a couple times, I'm literally sitting on my hands. I'm going to sit on my hands so I don't make this mistake. And at the tribal council, when they're talking about everything that's going on with the stars and looking at the stars, and Stephanie says, you can walk and chew gum at the same time. That's when I said, oh shit, Say's going to go home. Like, Say's not seeing this coming. They're pulling the wool over her eyes, and they weren't. And in all the, I've read up a lot with the post game, or her post-game interviews, she's been talking a lot about how she just knew it was her, that she never had the numbers, that it was just her and Mary, and she had no chance otherwise. So, like, she knew it was coming, but it did seem like aggressive, aggressive, aggressive. And just to give a little behind the scenes of what happened at the premiere event, because I didn't talk about this on the last podcast, I've talked about some of the stuff, but Jeff did come out and say at one point that, you know, in the new era, you really do have no choice but to be aggressive. And he said, like, sitting on your hands could work in older Survivor, but in this era of Survivor, you really do have to be an aggressive player from the start, because yeah, it puts Say in danger potentially because she might've been seen as too aggressive, but ultimately her aggression also helped her bond in a way with people that Stephanie just wasn't able to do because she was playing a little laid back.
Yes. And I do think being aggressive can sometimes be good, but like, you can't sit here and say that Say is playing a winning game at this point. Like, she's far too aggressive. Like, it's a, like, there's a balance to this. And I think the more interesting thing to look at is, what do you do if you're out there playing Survivor and someone like Say, and I will compare Say to Rome. Rome had it felt very similar, where like, someone is going to outwardly look for advantages and idols, play really hard, draw a lot of attention to themselves, end up finding the advantage through their aggressive play. And the tribe is kind of like, doesn't have a choice but to embrace this person and be like, well, what are we supposed to do? And this person trusts me and is bringing me in. Why, if someone who has the idol is bringing you in and say, hey, do you want to vote with me? And these are the two people on the bottom. Like, how do you say no to that? So, like, I got very much Rome vibe this episode. And I want to discuss with you, Phil, like, how do you handle that predicament? Like, if you're Stephanie here, what can you do? And the other players, like, if you're Justin, Kevin, Cedric, like, what are your thoughts on, you know, having an alliance member that is outwardly playing such an aggressive game?
I think that Say is going to be used in a very similar way to Rome. I think you hit that one on the head, where the people who can align with Say will align with Say for as long as they possibly can and move through the game as much as they possibly can with Say, understanding that Say will eventually blow up and will be somebody who's voted out. I have Rome coming on the podcast on Sunday for the predictions and power rankings.
That's perfect.
And so, you know, it's great timing, because when you text me, you're like, it kind of gives me Rome vibes. I was like, you're right. It really is where it felt like Genevieve and Teeny, and Teeny was left out of that Keyshawn vote, but still, like, the Asia vote. It felt like the players were willing to play with Rome because they knew he was going to be aggressive and always a shield. And that's where it feels like with Say, if you're these three guys, yeah, you're a little worried that Say has an idol, But I also think that if you're those three guys, you probably are feeling pretty comfortable that you could vote Say out without her playing that idol. That's what I got from this episode. So I feel like you keep Say over Stephanie because, you know, she's going to be more aggressive. But when it comes to what could Stephanie do, I think Stephanie needs to use the aggression of Say against her. And I don't feel like she did. Maybe she did and we didn't see it. But I don't feel like she ever used the aggression of Say against her in the way that she needed to.
I mean, we did see the conversations that Mary and Stephanie had with both Justin and Kevin. It wasn't like they weren't doing it. It wasn't like they were actually sitting on their hands doing nothing, hoping, hey, I hope everyone notices that Say is like really aggressive and that we should target her. I think you have to look at this from Justin and Kevin's perspective, because to me, it felt like Mary and Stephanie were the safer option and probably like stronger allies, honestly. Like, I don't know if you want an ally who is honestly playing a little bit like Tony, like someone who's just outwardly so aggressive. Like, I just, that person is so clearly playing for themselves, and as every player should. I'm not like sitting here saying you shouldn't play that way. It's just more like the optics of it. Like, if I'm out there, I don't want the player that's so clearly playing for themselves. I want to find some people that are like, hey, let's work together where it's mutually beneficial. And like, I don't know if you're really getting that with Say. Like, Say will just stick with you as long as it's good for her. Like, you clearly see that. And I think their thought process is, okay, let's say we vote with Stephanie and Mary. And I'm talking about Kevin and Justin here. And we have a four. And we vote Say. And she plays her idol. Then this whole thing falls apart. But I'm not sure if it does. I really don't think it does, because then Say's idol's out of the game. Sure, you've lost Stephanie, but then you have Mary, Justin, and Kevin, which is still a 3-2 against Cedric and Say. And even I think you can pull Cedric in and be like, hey, Cedric, we didn't tell you because there wasn't enough time, or like you were close with her. We didn't want her playing the idol. Like it was sketchy.
Literally what happened last season with Annika and Rachel.
Yeah. Exactly.
They let Rachel out. Annika goes home and Rachel wins.
Yeah, Rachel's back in it. Yeah. I mean, they didn't have to go to another tribal though, right?
That is they didn't. Because they got rid of
John
first. Yeah.
We don't know what happens if that foursome does go. But that, I think, if I'm Justin Kevin, to me, it's like that's the move. It's like, get rid of that idol, get rid of the aggressive player. Mary and Stephanie seem like they're very amicable people to work with and play this game with. And then if the worst case scenario, Say plays it, then look, then her idol's gone. You have the numbers. You can bring in Cedric. And then even if she finds another one, then like, okay, sure. But she didn't even crack that code on her own. She needed Cedric. And that's why I was so confused. I think early, it's like, if I'm Cedric and I know I can crack this code in that position, I'm like, damn, I can't help you here. Like, I really wish I could help you. Not help Say out and then vote her out, knowing that she doesn't have a vote, knowing that she doesn't have an idol, and just get this entity of aggression and overplaying away from me. I don't want that. Like, that's,
and it seems like he did though. It seemed like he was down. It seems like he was down.
It seems like we're good. I guess we're in an alliance and it's day three. Like, and I have to like help you get an idol. Like, I just, that felt too easy for Say to kind of bombard. She like determined the four, found the idol, showed it to all of them. And she's like, help me find these, figures out these clues with the help of other people. And then she gets the idol for herself. Like, if I'm in an alliance, I'm like, damn, I feel like I just got burned by you a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to be working together. So I don't know. What did you think? Like, did Kevin and Justin make the right move here?
I think getting rid of Stephanie is the right move here, because I think it keeps tribal unity. I understand that Mary was left out of this vote, but you have four together. I feel like if you had all voted out Say here, Say's gone. But I feel like that Cedric and Say do have a pretty close bond. I do feel like that we saw that when she hugged her, or when he hugged her and said, you know, this is for your mother or something like that. I do feel like there's a tight bond there. He was very happy for her that she found this. And I feel like Say is easier to read than Stephanie. I think Stephanie comes in and you're a little nervous about, okay, what's the deal with Stephanie? Like, what vibe am I getting from Stephanie? So I think I'd rather keep Say early on, especially Say is spilling nonstop. I mean, she was telling everybody everything. And we're not seeing the side conversations between Kevin and Justin, between Kevin and Cedric, between Justin and Cedric, but you know that they're saying to each other, oh, she told you that too. Like she told you that too. Like, especially Justin and Kevin, I feel like they probably had a lot of that. So if she's going to spill, I say keep her around. And honestly, yes, she's playing aggressive. She's playing that Rome style game, but we saw it work last season for somebody like Genevieve. We saw it work for Rachel on her tribe, even though they didn't have to go to another tribal, of let other people play aggressively and use them. And you sit back until you need to be aggressive. And I think that's what we're going to see from some of these green players, or this green tribe is truly going to be a disaster. Kevin's shoulder is going to be a problem. Cedric and Say are going to be trouble. And maybe this is a Matt Singh type situation where all we have left at the end is Justin and Mary or something. Like, who knows? It could be a disaster tribe, but I ultimately don't think it will be.
Yeah, I don't think this tribe is like screwed by any means. But if this tribe is going to tribal next week, let's say they do lose, who do you think is going home? Do you think it's just a foregone conclusion that Mary
I think
goes?
Say would go. I really do. I think Say.
But
I
if
think
that's Say if that's your thinking, so why not trouble. Just? But if that's like your line of thinking, let's keep Say in because she's trouble and like because she's spilling and all this stuff. Like, if that's why you voted out Stephanie instead of her, then why on the next week would you vote out her instead of
Mary? Because now you've done 3 more days of Say. And I think after 3 more days of Say, it's like you said, she found that idol. And now you start to say, well, it's just her. So I'm feeling a little burned here. If that starts to be a trend of Say is playing so aggressively for Say, eventually you're going to say, you know what? Maybe we just got to get rid of her. Like, because what I think could happen here is they could say, hey, look, we want to vote out Mary. And maybe she says, well, I don't want to get rid of Mary. I'd rather get rid of Kevin. His shoulder's messed up. And then everybody says, why are we letting her call the shots? Boom, let's stop. Because I do believe for as long as Say is in this game, Say will want the people that she wants out and she won't hear it any other way. That's just how I feel it's going to go based on what I saw in this first episode.
Yeah, and I guess there's some argument to you don't know Say well enough yet at this first tribal council whether she is going to play her idol or not. Like, now you've already established trust with her. You voted with her. She didn't play her idol. And you have Mary as an easy decoy boot where she has, you know, this plausible story of the 4 of them putting votes on Mary. And, you know, then she carries her idol into this foursome of the green tribe. And then that is a prime opportunity to blindside Say and flush the idol out, where you bring in Mary, throw your votes on Say. You've already convinced her that you've voted with her. So maybe there is some merit to that. It just seems like if you are going to target Say at the second tribal council, might as well do it at the first one, so that in case she does play her idol, then like the idol's at least gone for the second one. Yeah. But now that you haven't thrown votes at her, she still has her idol for the second tribal council.
Yeah. Yeah. But there is that easy decoy, which I agree with. Let's talk about the beware advantage though, because I know you're kind of like the puzzle, and this was a puzzle, right? This is essentially a challenge. I know that it's Jeff had Quigley up on stage, right? Quigley, that's his name.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he was just saying like this was the guy who does like the idol stuff or whatever at this point. And so Quigley was up on stage and they were talking a little bit about this, but they didn't dive into it too much. And I felt like this was so much more than just a beware advantage like we've seen in past seasons. We started to see people have to do the boxes. We saw that with Gabe last season and Rome last season. The season before, we saw Tiffany having to figure out the cryptogram. This was a little bit different, and this was a little bit more visual. I felt like this was a little bit more exciting. It was a prop with a puzzle. There's things painted all around. She thought it was Fish Road, which was absolutely amazing. What did you think about this, and are you happy with the direction this is going, or do you feel like it's becoming too convoluted now to find one?
No, actually, I really like this because there was enough play along for the audience where, like, you've seen these colored animals and you've seen that multiple tribes and you've seen the numbers. And, like, I mean, I had arrived on, like, I think if you match the, because we'd seen these animals, we'd seen that there was the one when she found the idol, there was like the big pink marking on that rock, like near where she found it. I forget what animal that was. And you see the animal, you see the numbers, and they're color coded to like the animals you've already seen. And so I didn't figure it out right away, but I did clock what this code was, that it was going to be taking the letter from the animal in that order. So if it's 3 dolphin, then you get the L. What I didn't see coming was then those were just letters for a word scramble. Once they spelled it out, it was like Islington or something. And then I was like, oh, it's listen. That was an extra step I did not see coming.
And Brian Gordon tweeted it out today. Let me see if I can pull it up, because he talked about that grouping of letters. Let me pull this. I know it's on here. That grouping of letters this is his quote. Okay. But what's especially devious about that puzzle is that E-I-L-N-S-T is famous, as far as anagrams can be famous, for having one word for nearly every letter. So there's enlist, inlets, listen, silent, and tinsel. And in their own way, all can apply to Survivor other than tinsel. So actually, like, there is more to it. Silent could have been the word, and then they put in silent.
Silent, like, definitely could have worked. And I think there are some ways where it's the order that you put the letters of the anagram that you're more likely to arrive at a certain answer than another. So, like, to me, I arrived at listen by the way they spelled it out. And I'm sure that was intentional, because you also, yeah, if you had put them in a different letter order, you could then be more likely to arrive at silent. Now, obviously not every time, because they're all valid answers, but that is interesting. I mean, that reminds me of the Carl puzzle. It was like perspective.
Yeah,
was an option, yep. But the real answer was perception, and it was like, well, damn, and because they had dummy letters, they had decoy letters in there, which, like, that felt a little like, okay, like, especially because perspective and perception are, like, so synonymous, like, obviously they're different words, but, like, why is one more valid as an answer than another? Mm-hmm. And that would have been the case with silent and listen as well.
Yeah, and then I don't know if you noticed, but on the orange tribe, the symbols were all black.
Yes, and like black robe. And I think we've been seeing that a lot as of late, that each tribe doesn't necessarily have the same shenanigans. Like, even with
their letters were just on the trees and on the things, but we haven't seen them find their thing yet. So
yeah, I wonder what's going on. I mean, at least they're tied together somewhat visually with, like, these kind of animal icons. Yeah. But even in the boxes last year, like, each tribe still had their own unique task. It wasn't the same for everybody. You know, early in the new era, it was, okay, we're all doing these silly phrases, and then, like, we're all going to do the beads. And then I think since then, it's very much branched out that, like, there's not this consistent, like, okay, the idols this season are this. And maybe lightly here so far, you can say the idols this season are animal icons. But, like, it seems what we're going to be doing with those seem to be different. And I'm for it. Like, I'm here for this. I think, like, if we see this again exactly the same way, that's where you're like, okay, we've seen that before. And it's pretty impressive, honestly, how many, like, if you go through, especially in the new era, how many unique ways there have been to find an idol and do a task. Like, you're pretty limited on what, like, resources and props you even have out there to build with. Obviously, we've seen, like, a ladder with Angelina, we've seen some boxes and keys, we've seen things high up in trees that you have to build some sort of contraption. But, like, it's pretty cool that they're not just, you know, repeating them or just hiding the idol and they find it and they get it. Like, they still have to do some tasks. So I'm here for that.
And I like that things are now locked away, which we've seen the last couple seasons. I think that's a good thing, because now you can't just accidentally stumble onto the idol like you used to be able to. You do have to solve. You have to solve it. You don't have a choice. Like, even if somebody else gets it, you can't then go solve it on your own and go grab the idol. I like that. It's like, no, it's inside of something, because I do think you should be rewarded for finding it. And it did get old to watch people just constantly walking around being like, oh yeah, I tripped over it and now it's mine. Like, to me, that's, like, not that much fun. You got 90-minute episodes. I'd rather watch something like this.
Yeah. I mean, I still, like, I'm thinking the best idols of the new era. Like, the phrases to me are still, like, the best ones. And I know you're not a fan of season 41. But
am I not? I didn't know that.
Those are so good. Like, those are
phrases amazing. Phrases are great. And especially the people who get them were really good.
Yeah. And I do think, you can't repeat that. I thought the bead thing was really interesting. The birdcage was very fun as well. Like, that's one that was the theme for the entire season. So maybe, yeah, it seems like 41, 42, 43, 44 all had, like, this is our idol theme this season. I think since 45, it's been, like, maybe a light theming and then kind of whatever goes. I will say this, Phil, not for nothing. When is the last time we've had someone come across a Beware Advantage and then actually go to tribal council without being able to vote? Like, are these as Beware or scary as they're made out to be?
You ready?
Is this recent? Are you going to throw one right back in my face?
the next behind the scenes premiere thing, Jeff said, he said, people are getting comfortable with wear advantages. That's when we like to get them. We get them nice and comfortable. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's saying this to everybody there. So like it's public knowledge at that point.
Why? Right? This is not public knowledge. You're at a private invitee only event.
Yeah.
None of us were there. I mean, now we're talking about like inside baseball of someone who knows what happens.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I feel like, you know, he's hinting heavily at that event. We are going to.
Can you answer me the question? Like when, when's the last time someone has, like last season it didn't happen. In 47, everyone who got a box got at least an idol that was good for one tribal council and did not lose their vote. In 46, I know we had Randon was kind of in kind of purgatory of like maybe he'll get it back or not, but he ended up getting medevaced. I don't think anyone else in 46 ended up losing their vote to a beer wear advantage. Going back to 45, I don't think so either, if I recall, not call that super well, but like that would be a big moment. Like I actually took this risk of getting this beer wear advantage and now. No, but that wasn't that I was on a journey because he couldn't put the things in order.
Oh, that's right.
Just because he lost the vote. I'm talking about when you find it at camp, you're not leaving camp, but like you go back to 43, every single person was able to get all five other beads, this specific bead, which I still thought was fun. So I think you have to go all the way back to 41 and 42 with those phrases because those were reliant on another tribe finding the idol. So even if you found your idol and said your phrase, you still had to wait for the other two tribes to find their idols, which made it far more beware. And we have not seen anything come close to being as scary as those advantages, those beware advantages in 41 and 42.
Yeah. And I had said that in my after show today. I was talking about how I felt like the beware advantages, like you really aren't intimidated by them anymore. You know that you're going to have enough time to figure it out. And I would actually, yeah. I was saying, I actually wouldn't mind seeing a beware advantage that is something along the lines of, hey, you know, you have to make it through a tribal council now before you can get a vote back. And I hate the losing of votes, but if you're going to lose your vote anyway, catch people really off guard so that people do start second guessing. Should I pick that up or should I not? We saw Andy last season say, maybe I won't go for it. Then he doesn't go for it. And that was funny to watch, but I wouldn't be mad if we started seeing them really pushing and saying, uh-oh, maybe you should have thought about this a little bit harder.
Right, because it feels like now that they're just idol clues and that you're going to eventually find the idol.
Yeah.
That's what they've been for the past six seasons. And that's a lot of time.
And like we're doing fans versus favorites right now and for every season matters. And when Amanda has to go.
You always bring this up. Oh, I thought you were going to bring up traversing across the island a bunch.
Well, it is similar, but now Amanda has to go find her idol really late in the season. And so she's going up and she's doing her thing really late in the season. And they have her do all of this stuff. And so far, every idol has been hidden on Exile Island. Amanda does all this stuff, and the idol's actually hidden back at camp. And so she thinks, oh, great, I went through it. I'm going to find it. And then it's like, it's actually under your flag. So she has to go back, and she has to find it under the flag. And it leads to that, obviously, iconic moment. But I would like to see the beware advantage get to that point, because at this point, it has been. You open up whatever that is. And, yeah, we saw them get duped a little bit last year. Gabe opens his box. He's like, oh, my God, there's another box. What's going on? Or you can choose to go through and to get an extra advantage, which I thought was a good idea. But
that was fun. Not that things have been like bad.
She opens the stone and it says
someone. I think we're saying the same thing. Go ahead.
What if the word was inlets, right? Like it's the same letter. So the word is inlets. And so she opens that and instead of the idol being in there. It's like now you have to figure out what that clue means. It's over by one of the whatever. Like that could be good.
Yes. Inlets, I don't know, would be valid though. You don't want to throw.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be something else, but you know what I'm saying. Well, like, something.
No, it's because of the plural of it all. Like, like a wordle word will never be a plural. If it ends in S, it's like gloss or bliss.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, I don't know, glass, something like that. You're not just going to put plural.
It's on not like one. Plays.
Plays. No, that would be. No.
It's only five letters, but yeah, split. But it wouldn't be that. Yeah. Split.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some of this 50 stuff since I know we got to watch the Traders tonight. So we're on a time crunch.
I know. Is the episode out yet? Has it already?
I don't know.
Earlier and earlier.
I know, man. Last week was like literally 8:30. It's like, what are we doing? What do you think about the 50 stuff? Have you voted? Have you looked? Where are you voting? Where's your head at?
I have not voted yet, but I think this is really fun. And I actually just love, this from Jeff, man. He's like, I hear you guys. And Jeff is so much about like, we want to try new things. We want to experiment. We want to, you know, bring evolution to this game. And I think he's always been very much, we're going to take big swings and we're not going to hit home runs every time. And he has owned that mentality, especially like ever since getting into the 30s and the advantage era, and especially in the new era, like we're bringing, there we go, Rome. I voted. I hope everyone does. Everybody vote. How many times can you, how many times can you vote? Is it like once a day or is there,
I'm gonna look right now. I'm sure I voted you make
one account. I need to start voting. No, but I really appreciate this from Jeff. Like, we've done some crazy things on the show and he's heard feedback and he gets a lot of flack for certain elements that he himself really likes.
He can only vote once on each category.
And like, it's kind of cool to be as like an EP of the show who's been there since season one, the host, just to be like, you know what? Let's just see what the fans want. You know, this is a celebration. This is season 50. You do not get to a 50th season of the show without fans. And for that to be the theme, that we are going to dedicate the season to fans, and that, I mean, we already have four categories here and it's only 1 week in, like how many things are the fans actually voting on? It seems to be like quite a bit. So like just very cool conceptually, and it's kind of awesome. I'm totally about it. And I do believe that I listened to a bit, I wasn't able to listen to all, but I listened to a bit of your reaction of the season 50 news. And you were like, there's no conspiracy here. Like they're going to, you know, uphold the results as they come in. They're not going to just do what they want and ignore it. And that it does seem Jeff is very genuine about being like, whatever the fans want, let's just do it and give them that. Like, we'll see what happens.
The things you're not voting on, you're not voting on location. They're going to be in Fiji. You're not voting on number of days. Jeff has said 39 days is off the table, which that is the worst news. That is a bummer.
And I don't even think that would have been a votable category because it is so production heavy. But that was kind of the whole thing I've been saying leading up to season 50, that the main thing I want would just be a bigger season. I want a 24-person cast. I want 39 days. And that 39 days does not seem untenable production wise. Like it is not something, it's not that long ago. It's like they were out there in 2020 planning on doing 39 day season before COVID happened. Now we're 5 years out from that. That's not that long ago. So that was a bit unfortunate to hear, but I get it. Like you've already proven you can film the amount of episodes you need to in a short amount of time. So why, you know, it's every week of production. I mean, every day of production is so costly. So like, I do understand that, but that was like, if you were ever going to return to the original day count of Survivor, it would be for this season. So now I know that we are never going back. We're never going back.
Exactly. So, that's what I said.
Yeah.
And I put out a tweet that accidentally like blew up. I think it might've been like our most like liked and retweeted, whereas I just put like Jeff Probst confirms there's no 39 days for season 50. And I just put the Rupert so much for my dreams. A lot of people took that as like a F Jeff. And I'm like, no, that's not what this means. This is literally just what I'm upset about with the lack of 39 days is that we will now not get more players than 20. The most we can get is 20. That's what I'm bummed about. Everybody who's bummed being like, oh, this just proves Jeff doesn't care about the show, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, nothing could be further from the truth. I don't think that's factual at all.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. This is literally just I'm bummed because we were so sold, you and I, on 39 days, 24 people, one survivor. We did a whole podcast with Bloom where we cast 24 people. And I love the idea of being able to do 24 people. You can't do 24 people in 26 days. And that's the bummer. It's just too much from a production standpoint. They're not going to do it.
You could. I mean, you could. I'm still holding out.
Make it 39 days, right? I mean,
yeah, sure. But like, I mean, I don't want it to be over the top where we're just like double eliminating every week. Like that's not Survivor. That's not the show we love, but there are probably some, especially with the 90-minute episodes. I think it's like way more forgiving to have a bigger cast because you just have more time per episode. So like we're starting with 18 people, but we get 90 minute episodes in the same episode count.
Mm-hmm.
Like the days don't matter as much as the episode count does. Mm-hmm. So like, sure, you have 13 days fewer of shoot time and like the tribal councils of getting through 24 people. That's a lot. And like, that's really tight on a production schedule. But if there are other ways to eliminate people that are, maybe you do some early, you do some double boots, the same tribal, I think you could get creative and maybe the fans would absolutely hate that because you're just bringing in more twist and maybe more randomness, but it's not completely out of the question because it's funny. I mean, this is kind of the paradox of where we're at with Survivor right now. It's that the seasons that we had 16 people for in 39 days for, like, or we had some with 20, like we had 20 season casts for 39 days. And those are the ones that got just an hour. And now that we have 90 minute episodes, we have a smaller cast with 18 and we have fewer days. So yeah, it's like, it doesn't really add up.
Yeah. And again, like when I look at this from a 26 day standpoint, and if you were to go 24 people, you're pretty much almost voting somebody out every single day. You'd have like four or five off nights, depending on if you do double boots and blah, blah, blah. But it is one of those where you're like, well, from a TV perspective, you have 90 minutes, so let's do it. It's like, yeah, but you got to have tribal council.
Yeah, like nights, know, like the nights of tribal council. No, you definitely have to do some sort of like, all right, immunity challenge right off the bat. First two tribes that lose, they are voting out somebody right then and there.
Yeah.
Like on the beach. And like you do an impromptu one during the day. And then that's like night one and you're down from 24 to 22 and you're off and running.
Yeah. And seriously, after night two, you could already be down to 20 people. Like you could be like the first in the pre-merge phase. If they're going to go three tribes, two tribes are voting people out the whole time. Well, you know better than anybody, but it's like, if you're at, can you do two tribals three nights in a row?
Three nights in a row would be a lot, but like the idea of having three tribes and both tribes that lose go to tribal and you're only lighting it once and you're only bringing out your crew there once, like that's, you know, that's a very efficient way to eliminate people. And honestly, that's what we did on Surviving Barstool. Surviving Barstool, we started with 24 contestants and we shot that show in 7 days. So it is possible. And obviously that is not at the production level of Survivor. But that was the format. It was, if we'd have a challenge, the tribes that lost would then both go to tribal and we'd have tribal set up and lit and ready to go. And we'd cycle the tribes through, and tribal councils, you just keep a little bit shorter when you're on a schedule like that. So I'm still hoping that maybe we get a larger cast, but like now that 39 days are out of the question, that definitely doesn't seem likely.
Do you think for Tommy Smokes, it was a bigger deal to meet me or to meet Jeff finally at the premiere event?
I feel like he's probably met Jeff before.
No, this was the first time. This was his first time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's good. That's awesome for him. Because I know he wants to get on the show. So maybe that helped him out. So that was probably way bigger than meeting you. That was going to be my answer, Phil. You were going to be my answer.
And then I ruined that. All right. Let's talk about some of the topics that are out there. Do you care about the buff colors?
I think that's the main one, right?
That's the main one. Do you care? You didn't even look. Do you care? Do you even care?
I'm actually going with the green, red, yellow one. And that's probably the one that's going to get voted on the least, because what's been happening is they've been doing primary colors or secondary colors. So primary are blue, red, yellow, secondary green, orange, purple. And so I just like that you're taking a green and then putting it in with two of the primary. Like, I think that's fine. I don't need the purples and the pinks and the browns and people are getting, and it's also, we're not really picking the colors because the colors, you see them, they're pretty standard. So I'd rather just mix it up that way. I really thought the funniest thing that would have been the biggest troll ever. I mean, if you look at the other options, they're all just two options. It's this or that. You're not having a choice of three. So I thought it'd be so funny for buff color. It's like, finally you get to choose. And then they just have primary colors as one and secondary has another, which is what they've been doing alternating for the past, like, I don't know,
eight seasons at least.
Not even eight. I think, like, go back to
Cagayan was probably the last time, huh? San Juan del Sur was
teal. No, I wanted to say Edge of Extinction was blue, yellow, green. Were there three? So it was primary, but green instead of red. That was probably the last time.
Yeah. Yeah. They gave us one. I was wondering, I'm like, how are they going to do the buff colors? People are going to want, and it was like, yeah, here's your, you have these three combos to choose from. All right. So that one you're choosing. So you actually gave probably the best reason I've heard so far. Rice or no rice?
If it's 26 days, probably no rice.
Yeah. I voted yes on rice mainly just because I feel like it's a faster gameplay. We don't watch them starve. I don't feel like it really matters. So like,
when I was doing my New Era rewatch, I don't think it sucks for the players, but like that doesn't come through the audience. Like, I don't think
it used to a lot better, but now it's like, we've moved past what that part of Survivor.
Yeah. Like you're hungry. Like we know.
I'm hungry watching too. I'm starving.
Yeah.
All right. Live reunion or after show?
Got to be the after show, right? We all love the after
show. Oh, man. I'm going to hope you're trolling on that one.
I mean, why are they even asking that? That's just
they've already determined it's live reunion.
Jeff was basically just announcing they're doing a live reunion in LA.
That was the loudest applause at the event when he said we could do a live reunion. After the place went nuts. Like literally,
right, because everyone that's there at the event you're at has some sort of access to the show and wants to go.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'll tell you what, you went to a couple. They're great. And you know what? If you don't get in the reunion, the after parties were fun. That's not happening anymore.
Those were some of the best nights of my life. I'm not even lying. Yeah. They were awesome.
I thought they were pretty good. I mean, you know, I was like, no. No, those were fun. Those were always a really good time. It's a bummer that
those were like a staple of like the end of the year of like end of December, the Survivor finale that like capped off.
I used to like, so when you work in TV and film, everything shuts down like 2 weeks around Christmas, right?
Yeah, it'd be like the 17th or 18th. Yeah. And it's so like, all right, home for the holidays.
Yeah, I would always be done on like the 17th or 18th. And my mom would be like, are you flying back home for Christmas? I'm like, well, I could. I'm like, or I could stay a whole nother week to go to the Survivor event. And it'd be like, even if I didn't get tickets to the reunion, it was like, yeah, we're staying for the whole other week to go to the after parties and stuff. Well, you gotta be kidding me. The biggest one though, and it's the one everybody wants to know, is are you saying yes on fire making or are you out on fire making? And did you read the wording from CBS? Did you read it?
Of course. Yeah. It was like the dramatic moments that we've gotten from Final Four fire making or go back to the old way.
Yeah.
This one I'm definitely the most torn on. I think I'm on record, especially on the Patreon, that we get into this stuff a little bit deeper. I think Final Four fire making gives you the best chance at I know that's true just mathematically. It gives you the better chance at having a competitive Final Three. But despite that, I think it's more just like variety and nostalgia. And it's not like we're going all the way back to a Final Two and like one person just cast a sole vote. Like I don't think we're gonna vote on Final Two versus Final Three.
It's gonna be a Final Three.
I don't think that would be one of the topics. So like just to like, hey, mix it up. I think both formats probably work fine. Like, why can't we bounce back and forth? So I'm going to vote for the return to the normal vote.
Yeah, I've been making arguments that I'm actually voting to keep it. And that's been my arguments. And I feel like it's better for the game, but I do understand what people are saying. The best argument I've heard for getting rid of fire is I want variety. I don't want every season to be the same. And that I feel like that's a fair
argument.
But if you're trying to make the argument of Final Four fire making makes the game worse and it leads to worse final tribals, like that's an incorrect argument. Like the Final Four fire making gives the person in fourth place a chance. And so I think that's better. That's why I'm voting yes. But I understand if you just want variety and you're hoping that this will mix it up season to season. I get that.
That's fine. I just want to like that. We haven't seen that since season 34. So like it's been a while. Bring it back. It's not like it's broken. The show had 34 seasons with that format. So like clearly it's not this broken format piece. Well, not that it can't be improved on, but like it's clearly okay to use. And I just want to see a mix up. I will say though, Phil, not for nothing, I don't like, and this, I think for some aspects, it would be cool. Like the players being surprised, like where did the fan vote land? I think that's interesting, but like for format pieces like this, like I do think you should play knowing whether it's a Final Four fire making or a Final Four vote.
You know what's
because well, let me finish.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I heard on your podcast you said, well, I want to find like I want to see that player who's like set up in a position who sets themselves up where they're good either way. And like, sure, that's cool, but like, what if we don't get that? Like, what if it's like, oh, well, because it's not fire making, this person goes at a four and womp womp. I think it's always more interesting when the players know the rules of the game that they're playing fully. And not that you can't have surprises and some twists, but like the more chaos and unknown is usually leads to safer, more conservative gameplay because you're preparing for all instances of the unknown. And I think when you say like, here's the format this season, this is what we're doing, then you can strategically plan around what's going to happen. So like that would kind of be my big like rub on this theme, is that like we're just going to keep the players in the dark on like the rules of what the game even entails. And not to say there isn't fun to be had in that, I'm sure there is, but like a great game player is great at the game they play because they are master of the game. And if you're gonna be a master at a game, you should know the rules of the game.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but at the end of the day, on almost all of these situations, and you said it at the beginning, we're getting one of two options. These players are going in knowing it's either going to be a Final Four fire making or it's going to be a Final Four vote. And they're going to know it's a Final Three though, right? Like that's how it seems like this is going. It seems like they're going to at least know that. So you're going into
Final Four on the table. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we don't know, but by the time they all go out to play the game, they're going to know it's a this or that throughout the game. They're going to know what their options are at least. So it's not like they're going to get some crazy out of left field. We didn't see this coming. And what I personally think is going to happen anyway, I think we're going to end up getting a fire making challenge anyway, because I wouldn't be surprised if in season 50, we just get a 2-2 vote at the Final Four. Like we saw that happen quite a few times.
Wouldn't that be so poetic?
It would be so funny.
Jeff's like, fans, it's in your hands this season. The fans really want the Final Four vote back. We don't want fire making. And then we just end up in fire making. See, that would be perfect. That would be, yeah, that'd be ideal.
And I could see that happening big time. So anyway, all right, that's our first Digging Deeper of this season. Like I said, I'll be back with Rome on Sunday at noon. I said the wrong time yesterday. It's noon Eastern time on Sunday morning, March 2nd. I'll be live with Rome. And then we'll figure out, Will and I are going to talk about what we're doing with our recap and everything next week, since we are going to the Bryson Wendell event. So if you're going to be at the Bryson Wendell event, say hi.
We can squeeze it in.
Say hi. Anyway. Thank you all so much for listening. We're going to be back with the traders in about an hour. So if you're following along with the traders, tune into that. Otherwise, we will see you all later. Like this video, subscribe, become a patron, patreon.com/specialist. If you want to play in the Power Rankings game, join now. See you all later.
See ya.